Wow. Welcome back to another episode of Search for Lawful Government with Unsavory Avery, as one of my listeners pointed out. And here at RBN, it's a beautiful day. Sun is shining, not a cloud in the sky. It's Maundy Thursday, April 1st, 2021. And I'm going to have to find out what the lyrics are to that song that Julie plays on the opening. She's playing this every time now. I like the little bing, bing, bing in the beginning of it. It kind of sounds like a alien, you know, landing. And since I wrote a book called Alien Physics, the physical operation performed upon the cosmos, that might fit in a little bit. But anyway, I'll look into what all that is. I did look into the word, and the reason why I'm going to get into this a little bit, it's going to be a little theological and a little governmental today, because they really aren't separate. These two things go together, especially in America and the United States, where the form of government was based upon Christian principles that had been derived over hundreds of years in Europe. And so they were going to really had an opportunity to try out their concepts, their ideas that had been revealed and growing and evolving in Europe for hundreds of years. So this was a great opportunity. And so this stuff just didn't pop up. This came from Christian principles that theologians had been thinking about for centuries prior to it. So I looked into Maundy Thursday, the day before Good Friday, and it said that was derived from a Latin word for mandate. And they gave quoted a scripture for that was a new commandment I give you, love one another. The mandate, that was what the author of this definition pulled out, was that the reason it's called a mandate is because of the new commandment that Christ gave his disciples and all those that would follow him. This new commandment was to love one another. Wow, what an idea. Love one another. And, you know, what Jesus did, really, his works, you know, a lot of people get his works confused with miracles that he performed, other miracles. His main works are his death, resurrection, and ascension. That's the work that actually accomplished something. It altered the world. It actually altered the cosmos. In fact, it is the most powerful and all-consuming, all-enveloping act that's ever been done. And it was a physical act that was accomplished by the body of Christ over the entire cosmos. And so he actually altered people. He gave them eternal life, and he opened the door to the kingdom of heaven that all men and women can go through, and nothing can close that door. No government, no power in the cosmos can close that door. He's the only one that can close that door, and that is in the future. That is not now. That's the one thing that hasn't been done. And there's no one can do it except him. The one that opened it is the only one that can close it. Now, that has an impact on the way we view government. Christ Jesus made all men and women kings and queens. We all have the same authority in ourselves. We all have the same rights in ourselves. We all have the same properties And we all have a right to the property that we invest in and that we work in. And the things that we accomplish and the things we create, they become ours. They become our property. And that's the way property is derived on the earth. Is if a man plants a crop and raises a crop, that crop is his. And if he does it on his on land that he sets aside to do that on, that's his land. He has a right to it. He has made it his. And that's how property is derived on the earth. And that is and when men create governments for the mutual protection of their properties, and that is, again, now John Locke has promulgated all those principles of property in his Second Treatise of Government, which was published in 1689. And he goes into detail a lot more than I'm going to do here, but I invite you to read that as to how property is derived and established on earth, and essentially how governments are derived and established on earth, all based on the principles of property. And he shows that that the sole purpose of government is to do nothing under except the protection of each individual's life, liberty, and possessions, which he terms all three of those he terms property. So the sole purpose of government is the protection of property. That's all it has. It has no other purpose on earth. And just as governments can become corrupt, and even constitutions can be dissolved by those sitting in the seats of it by their miscarriages, so is the same with theology, Christian theology. And I actually believe that it has been the perversion of Christian theology that had to occur prior to the dissolution of the United States Constitution and the state constitution of Texas, for that matter. These constitutions have been altered by law without amendments by the people. And that is nothing more than dissolution. And I'm not making this stuff up. If I had created it myself, I'd be kind of scared to talk about it. But this is the Second Treatise of Government. The last chapter of John Locke's book is on the dissolution of government. And he shows how he says there's five ways to dissolve a government from within. Most people think, you know, the way governments are dissolved is that you can't see any vestige of them. You know, there's no buildings where they meet. There's no troops. There's no police. There's no governors. There's no mayors. There's no nothing. That's what they think dissolution of government is. Well, that's ridiculous. I mean, governments fall and are dissolved years and years before there's no vestige of this tyranny that looks like government. It's dressed up like government, but it no longer has the authority of the people, and that's literally what lawful government is. It's a body of people, a group of people that are acting on the authority of the people. And when they lose that authority, all you have there is tyranny. And it's the exercise of power without authority. So now that we've kind of got the idea that the next concept I want to present is that as you can lose a country, lose a constitution, lose lawful government by the perversion of theology, what if you could actually create lawful government once again by the throwing off of heresy that's been adopted by the church? And And since this is, the period of time from Maundy Thursday or Easter through the Ascension, which is 40 days after the resurrection. So we're entering the period of 40 days here, 40 some odd days, of the time that Christ really altered the planet, altered the cosmos, and how people relate to people and what people have become and what actually Christ has become. And so if we can correct Christian theology, you have created a powerful institution. And I say right now that the Christian church is the most impotent system on the planet right now. It has no power whatsoever. It is impotent. And it's not done by government. Some have said, 501c3 corporations have ruined the church. Well, I think that's just maybe a later symptom. But what has ruined the church? It has nothing to do with what the government directly did to it. What ruined the church was bad theology, and that bad theology is prevalent in the church today. And even in those churches that would say that they're conservative and they're this and that, but they still have adopted a theology that makes it impotent. And I'm going to tell you what that theology is. It's called premillennialism, and it has various characteristics to it. And the reason why they call it premillennialism is because they believe that Christ returns prior to the creation of the millennial kingdom, and that, or they say, quote, the millennial kingdom. And in fact, there's no such thing in the Bible, Revelations, or anywhere that speaks of a millennial kingdom, which these so-called theologians refer to it. The only reference to a 1,000-year period in the Bible relates to a period in which Satan is cast into a pit for 1,000 years. And after this, he's been put in the pit. He is loosed for a short season, it says. So what they say is Christ returns prior to this 1,000-year period, and he sets up a civil kingdom where he's in charge of the government, and he and his saints descend from 144,000, I think, as saints, and descend to the earth and set up their 1,000-year millennial kingdom. And therefore, the result of this, now, here's the big question I have with all that made me question this theology in the beginning, was Christ is all-powerful, and he's on the earth in his incorruptible, eternal, glorified body, with 144,000 saints of the same nature in their glorified bodies. These people are, and you've watched them descend, and they've set up a kingdom that over others that have not been redeemed. So first of all, you have a very weird reality there where you have people have watched this miracle before their eyes come down and run the world, and then they allow a revolution to occur where Satan raises a giant army and has this tremendous battle against the saints and overcomes them even, and then fire falls from heaven and throws him into the to the lake of fire forever and his followers. I mean, this is a bizarre concept, and it just simply doesn't work. A post-millennial, now, on the other hand, that's the understanding that Christ returns after of the 1,000-year period in which Satan has been put into the pit. And that means that Satan gets out of the pit. Now, I'd like to present that the reason and the manner in which Satan gets out of the pit is by the church accepting a false doctrine that allows him to get out of the pit. And this, St. Paul refers to as the falling away of the church. He says, I want to tell you now that before Christ returns, there will be a falling away of the church. Well, by gories, I do believe we are seeing that. We've seen that. And I think we've also seen that Satan has been lit out of the pit. He's gone back to doing what he did before, which was, the Bible says, deceiving the nations. And is there not a mouth of Satan, which is this mass media cartel? And is it not deceiving the nations? I mean, I don't know what clearer evidence we could have of the power of the mass media cartel and what it is able to make people believe and do. And there's only one institution that can really stop that or bring a stop to it. And I don't know that it can be done, but one good thing is that the first thing you want to do to become a patriot, I would think, is first get in the kingdom of heaven. It's the door is open, and people should just go on in and get on in there and get that first. And then not only will you have eternal life, and the power of the gospel and the power of the word, you can have some impact. Now, a lot of people, they just, in a way, that they can't wait for all of this to fall apart because they think, well, that's what is prophesied, that everything gets worse and worse, and finally Jesus returns. But that's not what really Jesus wants. Jesus has said himself that we're supposed to be stewards of the kingdom. We're supposed to be, he made the vineyard, he planted the vineyard, he put the hedge about it, he built the tower in it, he put us in charge of it. He said he'd be gone, he's coming back. Now, what are the stewards supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be taking care of the earth. We're supposed to be taking care of one another's property. We're supposed to be defending the property of the people. This is our vineyard. This is our kingdom. This is not some scientist kingdom. This is not some banker kingdom. This is the kingdom of God. This is Christ Jesus is the king of it. And in fact, in the American Revolution, the slogan they said as they were fighting the British, they said, "No king but Jesus." Now, that's where that comes from. They had a king, the superior king. They had all been made kings and queens through the death, resurrection, and ascension. And hang in there with us. We'll come right back, and feel free to call in.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Star Wars at least 8 times, had the Pac-Man pattern memorized. I've seen the stuff they put inside Stretch Armstrong, yeah. Well, I was Roger Staubach in my backyard, had a shoebox full of baseball cards and a couple of Evel Knievel scars on my right arm. Well, I was a kid when Elvis died and my mama cried. It was 1970-something in the world that I grew up in. Farrah Fawcett hairdo days, bell bottoms and 8-track tapes. And looking back now, I can see me. Oh, man, did I look cheesy. I wouldn't trade those days for nothing. Oh, it was 1970-something.
That's a fun song. Yeah, thank you, Julie. Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, during the commercial break, if I'm going to be a host of one of the shows here, I need to get me a nice shirt. I need to go shopping on the channel and see if they got a shirt that's got RBN on there, and I want to have something like put on there, Unsavory Avery on the back, and the time of the show, and I get something I can wear around, you know, kind of be fun. And since I don't wear caps, I can't do it with a cap, and I can't have a t-shirt because my physique just doesn't do right in a t-shirt. But in a regular collar shirt or something, it could be pretty cool. So I'll be shopping for something like that, see if I can make it happen. And anyway, to get back to the topic here, you know, the church is – oh, good, we have a caller. Patrick from England. Let's take him right now.
Yes. Hello. Good afternoon to you. Nice to speak to you. I don't think I've been on your show before, but I've been on one or two of the others. Yeah, I just thought I'd speak to you about the premillennial, sort of postmillennial, amillennial, that sort of thing, if I may. Is that okay?
Yeah. Feel free to do so. Hop right in there. And wait a minute. This is going to be a short segment. So when the break comes up, you know, hang on. We'll carry it on to the next.
Sure.
Okay.
I'm a believer in the Lord. I'm baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, can speak and pray in tongues. But I believe in the historical interpretation of end time prophecy, of which there's a good reason for that. We use the Authorized King James Version of the Bible. But
amen.
We use a particular belief in our fellowship worldwide that we not many people have these days, because we actually believe, I'm sure you've heard of this before, that the British monarchy, the word British, Berithish, means men of the covenant, are descended from the old Bible kings. Now, we know that there were good kings and bad queens in Israel, so you know we mustn't look at this particular queen. I mean, she's done her duty in many respects, and it says very clearly the prophecy that God shall give her the throne of his father David and shall reign out the house of Jacob forever. And I mean there is a passage in the book of Revelation, you know, it does say, you know, it talks about she'll be priest of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when you actually think that the throne of David is a physical monarchy, there are some very important fundamental prophecies. Psalm 89, so I think 2 Samuel, that David was given unconditional promises that his throne would last forever. We believe there's other prophecies in Ezekiel to show the figurative terms that it was preserved through King Zedekiah's daughter. And there's actually a number of very important fundamental prophecies. If you look at all the heraldry, you look at all the scriptural prophecies concerning Israel, what they were destined to do and become, they've all been fulfilled in Ephraim and Manasseh, the two leading tribes, Britain and the empire, the Commonwealth, and obviously United States of America. It even says in Isaiah, the children that ye shall have after you have lost the other, i.e. the 13 colonies, independence, shall say, give us more room that we may dwell. And the British house, the British monarchy, is still the head of state in Canada, you know, Australia, New Zealand. It used to be said that the sun never set. In fact, there's been more prophecies fulfilled. There's about 40 or 50 prophecies concerning all the things that Israel was destined to do and become that have been fulfilled within the white, this might be controversial, Caucasian people. So there has to be, if you like, 1,000 years of which Satan is buried. We live and rule and govern the nations with a rod of iron, show how things should have been. And then after that, there's a new heavens and a new earth. Satan is released, tempts a nation, then fire comes up and destroys them. Then there's at the ages of the ages thereafter, a new heaven, a new earth. But anyway, I've talked enough. Maybe you've heard this teaching before about the monarchy.
No, not really. I haven't heard that. And I'm not sure I got all that you were saying, but are you saying that the monarchy was derived from the biblical kings, and that they do have some authority to still rule England and all of its parts throughout the world?
Yes, correct. Is that
well,
the break?
Hang on. We'll pick this up right after this break. Okay.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Ain't no use to say that I wonder why, babe, if you don't know by now. Oh, now it ain't no use to say that I wonder why. It'll never do somehow. Oh, and your rooster crows at the break of dawn. Look out your window.
Julie, thank you for a great Bob Dylan song done by some new nice lady. Anyway, Patrick, I have a couple of questions. Just number one, do you think that America or the United States was legitimate, developed legitimately, and had a lawful government at one time?
Yes, I do. Obviously, it was not, I suppose, at the time of the rebellion against King George, I suppose, technically speaking, America was unlawful compared with Britain, because it was a rebellion. But it was all part of God's plan that should happen, that Manasseh, the tribe of Manasseh, should separate out. The prophecy concerning Manasseh, it says, I think, the end of Genesis, he shall be a great people. But truly his younger brother should be greater. Ephraim and Manasseh were the two leading birthright tribes of the northern house of Israel, which vanished to Assyria, and they never returned, unlike the southern kingdom of Judah, which is basically many of the Jewish people, obviously some of Levi and Benjamin. They actually returned from Babylon, captivity 150 years later, rebuilt the temple, had an oppressed time under the Romans, and that's the people to which the Lord came to, and they rejected the Lord. In fact, there was another branch of Judah that separated out, but basically, but all the nobility in Britain and in Europe are descended from the ancient tribe of Judah. That was the scepter tribe that should bring forth the scepter. That's important and fundamental. And
let me ask you, because I'm not sure I was getting this right. Are you saying that America really was a division of Jewish people into one segment from another?
Yes, but not in the way that you say it, because Jewish means of Judah, but you see, the Northern Kingdom had all the other tribes in it.
Isn't that what you said? I thought that's what you said.
America.
Jewish something. Anyway,
America is.
Go ahead.
America's comprised mainly of Manasseh, we believe. Obviously, with some of Zebulon, that's the Dutch people that have come in. Maybe some of Gad, the German people, and some of the other tribes, but mainly Manasseh. He too shall be a great people, the prophecy says. But then Ephraim was to become a multitude of nations, it says. These are the two sons of Joseph. Joseph put in place, substituted, instead of himself being one of the progenitors of the tribes, he substituted his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, in the Bible, to be the two leading birthright tribes that would separate out and do most of the colonization and moving abroad and so on and so forth. Now, the monarchy, just to go back to that, you talk about the monarchy ruling. Now, for the last 300 years, the monarchy in Britain has not ruled. They've reigned, but it's been a constitutional monarchy, whereas the power of the monarch is limited. So we talk about the monarch basically reigning. Now, if you look at this very quickly, I just got a couple of scriptures, which I'll just read out very important quickly. Just won't take a minute. It says here, God's covenant, day of the night. It says here, talks about making a great nation. Jeremiah 33:20-21, thus saith the Lord, if you can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, that there should be not more day and night in their season, then also may my covenant be broken with David my servant, that they should not have a son to reign upon his throne. And it says in 2 Samuel, he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. Psalm 89 also talks, every generation shall be there. There shall be a monarch. So it was an unconditional promise. So what happened when King Zedekiah was killed, taken captive to Babylon? People thought that was the end of the throne of David. But the monarchy was established through the two daughters that escaped with Jeremiah. And there's a prophecy that an inheritance can pass to a daughter. There's no surviving male heir in the Bible. And remarried ultimately into the Irish ruling dynasty about the 5th century BC that was also descended from the other branch of Judah. So the breach between the two sons of Judah, Pharez and Zara, that were born, was strengthened again, and the monarchy was reestablished in these Isles of the Sea. Now, that might sound far-fetched, but if you follow all these scriptural prophecies concerning the throne of David, you'll find it's fulfilled. Even in heraldry, you look at the crowned lion, that's the Lion of Judah.
I have a question, Patrick. Are you saying then that all of these scriptural prophecies or whatever show that the monarchs of England are derived from and have some kind of biblical authority that has been derived from all of this? Because in a way, what I perceive from this is kind of different, very different, actually. It's that the king actually is Christ Jesus. That's the king that's promised. That's the one that's going to be over the nations forever, an unending kingdom, an eternal kingdom. And also that what has happened to mankind is that they've been altered by the works of Christ to all become individually kings and queens of equal authority, equal possessions of power and things. and that the only way that these kinds of people can get together and live in society is to have a contract, a social contract, in which all their property is protected under this social contract between kings and queens. Now, that was the perception of the American system, I do believe, as well. And so that's where I would have a problem with trying to, and even in the beginning of America, and they were questioning, even Samuel Rutherford was questioning, who can really find their roots back to Adam and all that kind of thing. It's just not possible. These things break down through all the time, and they just can't establish this connection.
Well, I understand what you're saying. I mean, if you look at the beginning of Matthew and Luke, you've got two genealogies there, which go back, I think at least one of them goes back to Adam. So you can see that. And secondly, I think what we've got to understand is it about the prophecies concerning the kingdom and the born-again experience of the individual. Yes, Jesus Christ is ruling in within the people, his individual people that are born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and we look forward. But then also we talk about the kingdom to come upon earth. Thy kingdom come, is it says in the Lord's Prayer, you know, and that he shall give him the prophecy. God said at the beginning of Luke, he shall give him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And then that scripture from Revelation 20, they lived and reigned for 1,000 years. We talk about that God's kingdom has got to come on earth. And so what we must bear in mind is Jesus Christ, at his first coming, he was never crowned king. He never proclaimed it to be the king. He said, you know, he said, my kingdom is not of this world, this system or order, else my servants would fight. So he never claimed his kingship at that time. He then said, but ye shall be my witnesses to the uttermost parts of the earth. You know, he talked about, he sent the power on the Holy, on the power of the day of Pentecost. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. And we went forth from Cornelius, the first Gentile family were converted, and 120 in the upper room, and 3,000 that first day. So yes, we mustn't spiritualize that which God says is literal. So yes, we believe in the spiritual kingdom within the individuals for the time being. We are to be his witnesses. We're to be faithful. But then we know that Jesus Christ will come back to reign upon the throne of the Father. And of course, it won't be in Britain or in London. It will be in Jerusalem. There'll be the millennial reign on earth for 1,000 years, where Jesus, we shall rule with a rod of iron, the Feast of Tabernacles, and some of God's order of things from the past will be returned, some of the feasts, the festivals and things. And then it talks about, yeah, we believe that Satan will be loose and tempt to the nations after being, and then the fire came out of heaven, devoured them. Yeah, so that's how we see things. But yep.
You can really rattle this off. Are you a pastor by any chance? Or most people
I'm
rattle.
Not actually.
You've really prepared this. I mean, most people cannot rattle that much stuff off that quick. I mean, are you in those fields? Are you a pastor at all?
No, I'm just a regular brother in the fellowship and an occasional lay speaker, an evangelist.
Let me ask you one other question. Under this premillennial, postmillennial thing we were going to talk about, it sounds like you are a premillennialist, that you believe believe that this so-called thousand-year kingdom is yet to come. So the kingdom is really not here yet. In your mind, you believe it's a coming kingdom that's not here.
Yeah, because it's got to be from the throne of David. Remember those scriptures I read about? It's a literal physical monarchy, a literal throne, a literal dynasty on earth, basically. And that hasn't happened yet. We're still with
and Christ is that monarch. Jesus is that monarch who's going to sit on the monarchical throne, right?
Well, yes. What we have is that we've got the scriptures in Thessalonians. We've got the meeting in the air. So basically all the saints basically will be caught up, that the dead in Christ will rise first. No one's actually with the Lord Jesus now. This is another mistake. The dead in Christ, even Paul, Mary, they're all asleep in the Lord. And it says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then it talks about we which are alive and remain shall rise to meet him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then what happens is we then become, we receive immortality and the change, basically. We then come back down to earth, and there's a thousand-year reign on a physical throne of David on earth. Remember, it was unconditional, everlasting promises, and you can look all these scriptures up. Maybe if I have an email, I can send them to you. 89, Psalm 89.
Well, yes, and again, even this sounds like the rapture that... that this rapture is actually it's like two appearances of Christ. Christ kind of appear. He doesn't set his foot on the ground. He just appears, and then the dead in Christ are raised, and then those that are left are caught up in the air with Christ, and then he stays up there for a while before actually descending completely to the earth. And is that your understanding?
Well, we believe in, if you want to call it the rapture by way of Christ's literal, physical, visible second coming, yes, but we don't believe in this secret rapture doctrine, which has gone around everywhere, that somehow there's going to be a future tribulation, future Antichrist, future. Basically, we're in tribulation now. The 3.5 years, 1260 years of fulfilled prophecy, when the papacy held political power and sway, tortured the saints and so on and so forth in Europe. You know, we're in tribulation now. We don't have this. Everywhere you go, you get this futurist interpretation. Everything's still in the future. Future Antichrist, future tribulation, future rapture, so on.
I agree with you that. Know, it makes scriptural. You think that Jesus hadn't done anything. He hadn't done anything. That's why everything's in the future. This is I have a problem with. This is what I say is the real problem with the church. Not everything is in the future. They've got to figure out what's now. And my main contention is, if you don't know where you are now, you don't know what's coming in the future.
That's right. So basically, you know, verily, verily, I say unto thee, unless a man is born again of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So we believe that. We believe something else, which a lot of people will not find acceptable, that you've got to be baptized in the Holy Ghost to be saved. And when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost to be saved, you automatically will have that ability to pray in this brand new language, not to be confused with the gift of tongues, because tongues can also be used in a meeting with interpretation. We do that as well. That's an optional gift there, it talks about. But when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have the ability to pray, and you've got to go through the waters of baptism. So we're very fundamental on these things. These are all supported by the King James Bible. And you look in the book of Acts, this is the pattern that happened when people... This so-called sinner's prayer that people talk about, sinner's prayer is not in the Bible. No one is saved. People take Romans 10:9 out of context and things like that and make a doctrine out of it, but that was written already to people that are already baptized and filled with the Spirit. That's the Roman Church.
Well, Patrick, so, what's the name of the group? Yeah. You said it's a fellowship, or what is it? You're a member of something. There's a group of you, and what's the name of it?
It's the Revival. Have you heard of Revival Fellowship?
The Revival Fellowship.
What state are you in?
Oh, I'm in Texas.
We used to know a family in Angleton many years ago, but I think they moved on, basically.
I used to live in Houston and Pasadena. I know Angleton. I used to go there every once in a while, yeah.
But I mean, there's a small branch in Fresno. They're up over in California. But, we are the biggest congregations are in Australia.
In Australia, but you're biggest, in England yourself.
Yeah, we have some branches here. Yeah, but okay. Yeah, but we do believe.
Well, Patrick,
I mean, Queen Victoria. Believe.
Was there anything you wanted to say right at the end here? Thanks for calling in. But would you like to wrap up? Go ahead.
The belief in the Anglo-Israel is not new. It's been around for about 100 years. I mean, even that the leader of the Worldwide Church of God, now, I'm not sure if they were right on the salvation, Herbert Armstrong, they taught that. There was the Anglo-Israel identity teaching in the British monarchy, it's not a new teaching. It's been around for hundreds of years. Queen Victoria knew that they were apparently knew that they were descended from the old Bible kings, and she had all her male children circumcised.
The
Anglo-Israel identity teaching, which is the teaching.
And
either British Israel or the Anglo. The teaching that states that the English speaking people of the world, characterized by Britain, the Commonwealth, the United States of America, are direct biblical descendants of the lost tribes of Israel, and the British House is descended from the.
John Patrick,
Moore.
We're going to have to
run the pony program.
Thanks for calling. We're going to have to end that there.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it. It's been very an enlightening maybe here. Okay. Thank you, Patrick.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All the best.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile oxysilver through healthyworldstore.com.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus.
$500 gets you two Commander memberships at Front Sight. $500 for two Commander memberships. Give one to whomever you would like.
It's been a long week. I've got a slow leak in my left front tire. Sick of where I work, my boss is such a jerk. Don't care if I get fired. My back's about to break, no money in the bank. She don't call me anymore. I'm down to my last ring. It's time to sell my things and pack my bags.
Thank you, Julie, for some more great music at these breaks. Well, anyway, that was an interesting call from Patrick in England, and it kind of is an example of what I am talking about. I want to bring up the main idea that is the problem with this, If we don't see that the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is here and that we're stewards of it, we're powerless. The church is powerless. If we believe that the kingdom is coming in the future, this thousand-year reign of a monarch that actually sits on the throne, Christ sits on a actual throne as a civil government over the world for 1,000 years, then you believe that you cannot get into the kingdom, and you also believe that you don't have any authority to be a steward of the kingdom because it's simply not here. So this is the problem with theology, with modern theology. If the kingdom's not here, you're not a steward of it. You have no authority whatsoever. You're just a stranger in a strange land. So this is the church. This is not the church that built this country. That this is not the church that built strong governments that protected property. And I'm not saying that all monarchs are unlawful. I think any government that protects the property of the people, their life, liberty, and possessions, is a lawful government, because that's all it does. That's the sole purpose of government. And if it does that and that only, you have lawful government. I don't care who does it or how it's done. But it's been shown that monarchs are pretty terrible at it throughout the years, starting in the Greek city-states and throughout, and Algernon Sidney proved that beyond a shadow of a doubt. And that's what he was beheaded for. After he didn't even get his book published. They got a copy of it and cut his head off. Now, this shows why we can't have this world looking like it's looking and say that everything is A-okay in the church. It's the church, basically, that has allowed all this to happen. And this is why I say Satan's already out of the pit. The thousand-year period is over, friends. The period of the church running the world and controlling Satan is gone. It is Satan is having a party. He's out deceiving the nations. Anyway, we'll maybe pick some of this up a little later. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next Tuesday. Thank you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.